Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Let's see. Is there a way to turn down my monitoring? I don't know.
No, I mean, I feel lucky at this point. The cool thing is, I'm the only one that's met everyone that is a host, except for Kyle. So now Kyle is the last person to have to meet.
I almost met Kyle. We never actually met in person, even though I feel like I've met Kyle before, but I haven't.
Oh, looks like a James Bond villain tonight. He really does. Look at him lounge there. He's in his secret hideaway.
I've got a small... Pussy. Yeah, right. My pocket pussy right here. I have got a small
pocket pussy.
I have got a small issue.
Yes.
With
issue.
Oh wait, speak nope. Faster. I see what it is. I got this. It's a normal size. I mean, that's average, right?
So that's what my wife says. She says
that's what she's telling me. Yeah.
Hey, hers is the only opinion that matters on that, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right. One second. I gotta grab my notebook.
Danny, so, what did you tell me? It's the value. It's not the size. It's the value.
The value?
No, that's a good point. What value does it bring to their lives? If it's
value,
it's for you to interpret and deal with.
Well, I'm glad I got
it. What is the value of your penis? What is the value of your penis?
Let's be real. The most important part in intimacy is.
Does
is
it have purpose? Right, that's here. A real question.
Is all above. What? It's all above the waist.
You doing a willow thing?
You're waving. The most important part is me, Jabba.
No. all these other parts here are more important than what's down there. That's what I've been learning. That's what I've learned in my life.
I thought you were doing like a willow thing. Like, you know, the most important thing. It's right here, my finger.
I'm sure glad I got most of that on
please
recording.
Don't post that. I'm going to look like a dude.
What are you talking? That's the cold open.
No. So I think you get one a year, right? So Jenna used one from last year.
Fair enough.
What did you have us cut? It was the terrorist.
The
thing,
raw,
right?
The raw, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not. Are you literally repeating it? Now you have to cut that, Kyle. God damn it.
There's no context for that. I'm not cutting just the word.
There's no context.
Uh-huh. I'm not cutting just the word.
Anyway,
you guys like my anti-hemorrhoid podcasting setup? This is badass, right?
Is that what this is?
this is what that is. This is the Kyle's ass.
You have a donut under there? Set.
No, because you know, believe it or not, donuts don't work for everyone because of the way it can spread said ass cheeks. It'll actually tug on
that.
The sphincter and can exasperate.
Exacerbate.
So, how did I say it? Did I say it wrong?
You said exacerbate.
Well, maybe the word.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe that's the correct terminology for this particular condition.
Nick says hard.
Exasperate.
Nick says he's got a hard on in 57
minutes.
Oh, no. Minutes.
Hard out. Hard out. Okay.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I misread that. I'm wearing glasses.
Okay. Both. Well, then, are
see you
are,
all.
Yeah, this show's not going to be an hour.
Are you guys ready?
Just to let you know right
I'm
now.
Just this funny.
Sure.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to be an hour-long show. That's okay. Nick, you just fucking leave. You can leave when you're ready. You have work soon?
Yeah, that's why I said I'll just drop.
How's your job?
Fine. Yeah. Good. We should start the show.
We can't start the show. We have a bit of business to take care of first.
What?
No. Wait, no. That could be in the show. So let him start
the show's
show,
already recording. What are you talking about?
No,
the show's happening right now.
We have to do the intro. We have to do the intro. Nick, God, what the fuck's your name? Brandon. You're not here enough for me to know what your name is.
You've been gone now.
Let's do the intro first. I'm ready for the intro. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the flagship international podcast of LRMonline.com and the Genreverse Podcast Network. I emphasize international. Because for the first time in years, we have the Ladtastic Four fully accounted for. We have a full-on quorum, so to speak. So it's not technically accurate, but whatever. It hasn't been years. And everything I'm saying is inaccurate. But we have four beautiful faces here in front of us. Let's start with the usual Nick Dahl. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Let's start with the slightly less usual Daniel Bartlett.
Good evening, good morning, or good night.
And... The the person who's been missing from the Lantastic Four for the past several decades here, and that is Brandon Jones, Sir Jonesius himself. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. And it's not just that. It's not, you're not just here, but
I'm there.
As I mentioned pre-recording, the two best-looking people on the podcast are together for the first time in the history of man. Look at that.
Not you, Doug.
I don't know. I don't know if that comes across, but they're in the same room, and they're living their best lives. And we'll talk a little bit about what they've been doing together, running around Dubai. But first things first, we have a little bit of business to take care of. So let me go ahead and just jump right into it.
Happy birthday to you.
So there are a few things more painful.
This dog is about to bite my head off.
There are a few things more painful than that song, over Zoom, because we can't sync up.
Yeah,
I didn't prepare. I also just got a text.
Oh, that just suffered.
Show's over.
I got
You're
a text
fired.
From Kirsten. Kirsten just texted me and said, stop.
Thank you, by the way.
So I'm done. Happy birthday, Kyle. I know it was yesterday, but we're celebrating it today because we didn't podcast yesterday. We're doing what we can. Stop your bitching. Happy complaining, because YouTube.
Thanks, guys. Go. I'm gonna use my F-bomb. Go fuck yourselves.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we got some fun stories to talk about today. Lots of fun. No controversy whatsoever. But before we do that, what brings Danny and Jonesy to the same side of the world? What's happening over there? What do you guys do? What have you been doing,
Jonesy,
and your time together?
Oh, well, Jonesy, take it away, buddy, because it's been your trip.
So I'm on a field trip. I received a very generous invitation to go see Hans Zimmer. Like, I'm so excited to see this concert. There are very few people that I care to see live, and Hans Zimmer is one of those people that has been a musical force in my life for like decades at this point. So there's a concert here in Dubai, and Danny was like, "Hey, you should come see this," and I'm here. And it's tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was going to be today, which would have meant missing the podcast, but now it's been moved to tomorrow.
Why was it moved?
So it's all working out.
Well, it's turned out that it's been a very hugely oversubscribed event, so they put on an extra night. So I moved the tickets to tonight to do the podcast. Jonesy can have an extra day, like doing some stuff. It's an extra show that they put on because, like I said, it's proved to be very popular. So tomorrow night.
Surprising, said no one, apparently, other than the people putting on the show, that Hans Zimmer would draw bodies. That was the weirdest way I could have phrased that. But would have drawn an audience. That's a better way I could have said that. But yeah, it's cool that you guys are together. You're going to have to share stories and all that shit later on. God, I can't stop swearing. I'm sorry, Kyle. All that stuff. So let's go ahead and jump into
Wait, are we not supposed to be cursing? Did this podcast become PG-13?
No. You guys, just judicious usage of cursing, and definitely after the first 8 seconds of a video. No more, no less than 8 seconds, unless that 15-second rule comes into YouTube. Get your shit together, guys. Seriously.
You know that chick that has all the algorithms going around her face when she's like trying to figure something out? Like, that's what I was envisioning as you were explaining that.
That's me every day. That's me every day. Every video that I edit. Yeah.
So let's talk about some news stories. So we're going to be catching up a little bit on what we've been all watching. But first things first, we got some DC things to discuss. As you all know, James Gunn is in the midst of changing the world, changing the universe, changing the DC universe. And axes have been thrown everywhere, all over the place, cutting things left and right. Making way, getting rid of Henry Cavill. We don't need that guy anymore. He's gone. We don't really know about a lot of other things at this point, but it's very clear he is open to cleaning house in order to wipe the slate clean. We don't know quite how much yet, but this trend continues. At least it seemed to be that way, but we'll talk more about that in a second. Titans and Doom Patrol. These are two Doom Patrol. These two shows started with DC Universe, was it 4 years ago? The DC Universe app 4 years ago. They were the mainstay. They were the draws to the apps. And I guess Titans was okay for the most part, but it seems like for me, the darling of everyone was Doom Patrol. And now after four seasons and after a transition over to HBO Max, it looks like the time is at an end. Understandably so, people kind of assumed that James Gunn was the one who was responsible for this since he is cleaning house. But according to a recent tweet, he says, the decision to end the series precedes us, but I certainly wish the best for the talented group of creators, actors, and the rest of the crew that produced both shows. And I think that's really key. Like, it's easy to constantly cast the blame on James Gunn and Peter Safran, who are shepherding the DC universe going forward. But we can't forget that the studio is still the entire company of Warner Brothers is still being run by David Zaslav, who unceremoniously axed a completed movie in Batgirl. So it shouldn't be surprised that this actual move came before James Gunn. But it does seem pretty fortuitous and in line with what they've been doing before. So I'm going to ask this of Jonesy first, because I know you're a fan of Doom Patrol. Are you sad?
So I'm a fan of both shows. I am sad, but I also understand. We've talked before about the fact that what's the optimum number of seasons? Four, right? So at some point, you're not really making any more money.
Oh, three. Usually it's after three is when they negotiations for, like, they usually sign up for a number of seasons. And then at that point, they're up for renegotiation of their contract. By they, I mean actors. And then the studios have to reassess, okay, are they bringing in more of a draw than they were before to justify the increasing costs? But anyway, sorry, continue, Jonesy.
So we got one extra. As a fan of both shows, I am disappointed to see them go, but I completely understand. I didn't think James Gunn had anything to do with this. There's a part of me that feels like he is, for the most part, focused on the cinematic side of it. And anything that's happening on TV is not necessarily within his purview. So I did think that this was coming just based on everything we had been seeing with David Zaslav. So disappointed, not unexpected, but I'm glad that I got what I did. Like, Dan Guerrera has been fantastic. Brendan Fraser has been fantastic on that show. I got some really, really, really good performances out of them. So I'm hoping to see what, especially Diane Guerrero, does next. I'm okay with it. I'm oddly okay with it.
Oddly okay. She's in Encanto. She's great in Encanto.
She's fantastic as Crazy Jane. I have a new dog now.
Danny, were you indulging in these shows? And do you think this is ultimately a good thing?
Yeah, so tricky one for me. I really, really enjoyed Doom Patrol, but because of it, I've not been able to see the last season. Titans, I was never a fan of, didn't enjoy it very much, not that fussed about that. But Doom Patrol, I will be sad to say goodbye to. But here's the thing, I haven't seen the latest season. So my question back at you guys, if we can, is, did it end in a way that it could be the last season, or is it left something open? It's like, oh, well, shit, we don't get resolution to X, Y, Z part of the story. Is it left in a way that would be okay, or is it going to be very frustrating for me and anybody else that hasn't seen the latest season?
Jonesy, I mean, I think you would know. I haven't watched these shows beyond the first few episodes, so that's on you, man.
I think it's hard to tell. I don't know whether or not there would be any hanging threads based on what I've seen so far from both shows.
Have the seasons, they all aired? Have the shows all aired, the episodes?
No. So they haven't finished the fourth seasons of both.
Oh, okay.
Titans took a break during winter, and I don't think they're back yet. They're like five or six episodes into the current season. And Doom Patrol might also be on break right now. So I think Titans is supposed to come back this month. And I don't know about Doom Patrol yet.
Okay. I appreciate that. Well, okay, I apologize then. I just assumed, I thought the season had run its course and that was the end. But if they haven't finished, then maybe there is time to alter a plan that could have left things open a little bit. But we'll see. But answer your question, Jammer, I'm upset to say goodbye to Doom Patrol, but it's been fun. I'm glad I had that show, and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen next. But sad to see it go, but hey, glad I got the four seasons, or will have had the four seasons.
Nick, I thought one of the articles said that they were told far enough in advance, like, wrap it up in their last two, like, episodes.
You thought? Or you
okay, didn't? That's cool.
I read that in one of the articles. I mean, I don't know which one.
That might make sense, especially if what Gunn is saying is true, that the decision to cancel it precedes him.
Yeah, so you're right. So Variety reported that
I'm useful.
Producers on both shows knew that the seasons would be the final outings, enough time to craft fitting endings before production wrapped. So that is correct.
Yay, I knew something. I haven't watched either show. So I don't really have
like, but would you have if you were, let's just say, and I know Jim Gunn isn't responsible for that, but you would have done this?
I would have wiped the slate completely clean, which I don't think he's going to do with everything.
I would have wiped it off the face of the earth. I'd be like, what's a DCEU? What the heck is that? What's a Batman v Superman? I don't know what that is.
Like I have a feeling certain elements are gonna continue forward the more we hear and the less he commits to stuff. Like, especially since his wife is also gonna be in Shazam. And I hear the Flash baby. I wonder if she'll get cut completely. Not her, but just her. But I want a completely clean reset. Especially, and it only matters for TV because he said the TV and the animation will also almost all be DCU. We know there are exceptions like the Batverse and Joker. But yeah, I just think it makes sense.
So you're saying it'll all be connected, the TV shows as well, like in the video games and the comic, like they're connecting everything, right?
I don't think the video games. That would be really hard. Oh, I don't
remember. Yeah, it'd be really hard. I remember hearing it.
He did say video games.
And I remember thinking that's a terrible idea. So, yeah. You know, we'll see.
But he also did say that there's still a multiverse and there's still else world. So there is no full reset. As much as there's a full reset by his words back at the beginning of this mess, there is no full reset. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I haven't seen them, but I would like to see a eraser and then new stuff. I mean, not eraser. All stuff's going to exist except for Batgirl, but you know what I mean.
What? Batgirl? What?
Because we've not seen it. It's not been out there.
Batgirl has been erased, but...
Right. Gotcha. Got it. It's already been erased. But yeah, I think this is ultimately a good move. Like, I just get rid of all of it. Just get rid of all of it. I'm with you, Nick. I think they need to wipe it completely clean. But then again, I don't know what his plans are. And I've also, there have been many points where I'm like, they should do this and they don't do that. And I still like it. I'm like, okay, well, I think that worked. So if there's someone who can make it work, it's James Gunn. I didn't think I would like a Peacemaker show. I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you wasting time on this character? Even in Suicide Squad, I remember watching the Suicide Squad. And at the end, I'm thinking, I'm an idiot. James Gunn has been trolling us. There is no way we're going to be having a Peacemaker show after this. And then the post-credit scene happened. I'm like, oh, I guess we are. But it just felt, why? He wasn't even really a great character in the Suicide Squad. Like, he was fine, but he wasn't, like, amazing. And then Peacemaker came out and proved me a fool. So if there's anyone that can prove me wrong, it's James Gunn. We'll have to wait and see what he ultimately plans. I'm still waiting for these plans that were supposed to have been announced soon. I'm ready for some information. Give it to me. I want it. But obviously they'll give it to us when it's ready. Anyone else have any thoughts about Titans, DC, Doom Patrol, anything else in between?
Nah.
We're about to jump into some sadder news here. And I don't mean necessarily sad for the creative side, more for just, you know, the real life side of things. So Justin Roiland, one of the creators and huge voice talents involved in Rick and Morty, has had quite the fall. He was recently charged with one felony count of domestic battery with corporal injury and one felony count of false imprisonment by menace, violence, fraud and or deceit. In the wake of that, Adult Swim, who, you know, they're responsible for Rick and Morty, or actually, I don't even know if they don't produce it. I don't know who produces it. They don't produce it. They just distribute, I guess. Adult Swim distribute. I don't really sure, actually. But they're involved with Rick and Morty, and they have cut all ties, saying Adult Swim has ended its association with Justin Roiland. Rick and Morty will continue. The talent and dedicated crew are hard at work on season 7. And yeah, there was a 70 episode order, and they're like not even halfway through. So they're going to be going substantially in without one of their co-creators, without one of their voice talents.
Rick and Morty is a William Street production, so it is in-house. They're at Cartoon Network Adult Swim. William Street is their production company. It's got additional ones that it works with, but William Street is first on the list.
You having fun there, Jonesy, with your camera? This is a whole sideshow here with you and the sort of slow zooms and making it look visually dynamic. It's like I'm watching a Michael Bay film. You're on mute also. You're just proving your age.
So I muted myself because Danny's in the room and I didn't want the feedback. So the tablet does this its own thing. I wonder if I can turn that off. Let's see if I can turn that off. I'll work on it.
Like, I thought you were trying to get like a hero shot of yourself. It was working.
Here, by the way. How about that?
Sure.
How about that?
I mean, honestly, I don't mind. I just don't want it constantly shifting and then sort of distracting.
I just did the thing. That's what I'm saying. So I turned off the fine. Michael Bay camera. So there's not going to be a thing.
You're looking good. You're looking great.
All right.
Tells it up and to your right a bit, center yourself there.
Up, and back. I can't see myself.
Yeah, back. Oh, you can't see yourself.
That's there you go, right there. Good to go.
Don't move.
Good.
Stay that way for it.
I just kept seeing his finger come up on the screen.
Right there.
Anyway, so Justin Roiland has been blacklisted. That's not the right term. He's gone from the show. In addition to that,
your racist ass language.
What? Oh, god damn.
Nothing.
In addition to that, Hulu has also dropped him from.
Why are you vertical? Hold on. Hold on. No. Why are you vertical? This is not TikTok. This is not the CCP.
This is the easiest way
thing.
To center myself.
You are a landscape person.
You want to know the funniest
person.
Part out of everything? There are TikToks from Jonesy where he has it horizontal.
Oh,
so
God.
It's like sideways if you're on TikTok.
Yeah.
So you can't just get it right.
Well, I recorded that from my computer. So that's the reason why that happened.
Well, I get that's why that happens. It's just funny that you uploaded it without really trying
to fix
it. But...
Hi, dog. Fine. I want to play with the dog. Here. There we go.
Okay.
You get one or the other. Either. Here.
This is what we want.
That's it.
Yes, that's fine. Anyways, 20th Television Animation said, we have ended our association with Justin Roiland. Very direct statement. Very easy. Yeah, very clear. There's no one's taking any chances there. And then, of course, it wasn't just that. Justin Roiland also voluntarily left Squanch Games, which is his video game thing. Video game company, studio, I guess, is the best way to see it. He's doing it. They launched High on Life, I think it was last month or so, which was a popular Xbox Game Pass launch. And it's funny because I remember when that came out, people were already turning on Justin Roiland because, like, this game isn't funny. This is your little dancing isn't funny anymore, Justin Roiland. They're already turning on him. So I felt like this is a weird completion of that arc there. He didn't say, but the studio tweeted out yesterday, the passionate team at Squanch will keep developing games we know our fans will love while continuing to support and improve High on Life. So a first question I have, and I know this isn't your area of expertise, Jonesy, but what the hell is false imprisonment? You need to unmute yourself, sir.
It's when I take you. Now I was thinking, it's when I take you and I put you in a place without authority. So like if I was at your place and you were like, hey, I want to leave the house. I'm like, no, you can't leave the house. It's kidnapping without actually taking you from one place to another, basically. And I just
basically
you
saying
leave.
You can't leave somewhere that you're existing
right.
presently.
And okay. I don't have the authority to do so.
Because false imprisonment, I think of that. I just think of, you know, those poor people who were falsely accused and imprisoned for years. That's what I think. So it was weird to me. I was just like, I have no idea.
Who? What people?
I don't know. A certain percentage of people in prison and just our justice system in general.
Right. And so, and that's why I said without the authority to do so. So the state has the authority to actually imprison you. So
well, when I hear the term false citizen, imprisonment, that's what I think of, even if it's not correct.
Got it.
I knew it wasn't correct, but I was curious about the clarification, and I appreciate that. I think it's just important to kind of discuss. It's a sad topic, obviously, for everyone involved. You know, we don't know anything really at all. So I always hesitate to have opinions about, like, what do you think? Because I don't know. I don't know Justin Roiland. I don't know what he's like. I don't know anything. But at the same time, it's just important to really put it out there and say, like, yeah, this is a very, very popular show. He's produced really popular things, and now those things will be forever affected. So I guess I'm just going to ask initial overall thoughts. Nick, we'll start with you.
Well,
what were your thoughts when you first heard about this news?
That it's a good thing for, not for the shows, but obviously it's the correct thing to do as far as like something Warner Brothers should still consider doing with Ezra Miller, who's also had his issues.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing because they have a produced movie that's done. This is something that's currently in production. So I think that's a big difference. If the Flash hadn't started getting produced yet, I don't think they would have continued, and that would be the same. That would be a similar situation, but the Flash movie's done.
I know that Adult Swim said they would continue on. Did Disney Hulu say that they were going to keep doing Solar Opposites and Panda Man or whatever the hell is other show? Okay. Cause I would end those.
You don't know how successful they are though.
Yeah, and it's also like he doesn't seem to be the main creative power behind either, as far as the main writer. Like Rick and Morty has Dan Harmon all over it, and Justin Roiland's just a voice, I believe, on the
Hulu
show.
Which is problematic in and of itself.
Yeah, Dan Harmon, the unproblematic Dan Harmon is the sole creator.
Hulu said that we have ended our association with Justin Roiland. Both Solar Opposites and Qualaman will continue without his involvement.
Okay, so they're saying the same thing as
per Variety. Per Variety.
And Justin Roiland is a co-creator, Nick. He's not just a voice in Rick and Morty.
But I don't think... No, I know that, but I'm saying the writing is very much Dan Harmon, except for me and my roommate already discussed this. We're definitely losing the wacky episodes like Interdimensional Cable, which they do once in a while, because that is literally Justin Roiland getting drunk and just riffing, where it's like, and it's two brothers, and like they go on cars, and then they got two brothers, like that's pure Justin Roiland. But otherwise, like I think it's gonna be very difficult, but you could find a voice like his somewhere for sure. But at the same time, I don't know how successful they'll be without him, if it can really, the magic can really be captured again, though we've kind of already referenced that a lot of people have already been getting tired of his humor.
His shtick.
His
sensibilities.
I saw all that.
At least they seemed to turn on it last month.
It was mostly the game. And I think that's because, I don't know, maybe someone like Dan Harmon or the co-creator of Solar Opposites has reins him in a bit, except for those types of episodes I've been referring to. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see, because there are even people who aren't like, find a similar voice. They're like, cast Christopher Lloyd as Rick. But again, it would change the show quite a bit.
Christopher Lloyd's like 99.
I know.
Like at this point, he's not that old, but he's old.
Actually, but yeah, I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see how the seasons without him turn out. Like on Solar Opposites, I was gonna say you should just let it go because it's not as popular as Rick and Morty, but he doesn't even do that crazy of a voice either, so I don't know.
Sure.
We'll see. Like I said, I think it's the right decision. I don't know, and Christopher Lloyd is 84 years old, so we'll see what happens to the shows.
99. He's a hop and a skip away from 99. Danny, have you been watching any of these shows? First of all,
No. Full disclosure, I've seen maybe 4 or 5 episodes of Rick and Morty, so I didn't even know who these guys were. So one of the things that Jones has had to do since he's been here a few hours is fill me in on exactly who this guy was and what he's done. And as soon as I was fully aware of, you know, what we are fully aware of at the moment, it's the right decision. Seems like the show itself, as good as it was, there's no reason why I haven't seen any more episodes. I think it's the right decision. And it looks like the show will live on at the moment anyway. So I guess it's very sad. Like you said, Jammer, sad that it's come to this and sad for everybody involved. But the right decision was made based on what I understand of the situation.
I mean, if you're a business, you just can't. You can't put up with somebody who's in these serious lawsuits actively creating stuff. That's hugely problematic, you know, and that's not even to say any what he did specifically. Jonesy, what are your thoughts? Does this make you sad? How big of a fan of these shows were you, if at all?
Not Solar Opposites. It's not, what's the other one? Panda? What's
Koala Man or Koala something.
Yeah, fuck that. No, don't know the one. Rick and Morty, huge fan. I love the show. I played High on Life a little bit and I got tired of it. So I totally understand where people are coming from, but I am so fully invested in Rick and Morty. Am I sad to see him go? I understand the decisions that these businesses are making based on what's happened. Is it the decision that I necessarily would have made? I guess, so Nick brought up Ezra Miller. I think that there is a difference between Ezra Miller and Justin Roiland in this. And even Dan Harmon to an extent. Dan Harmon admitted to and apologized for what he did to Megan Gantz, who was a writer and someone that he sexually harassed. And he even made up an excuse for why he did what he did. He said he just broke up with his girlfriend. And he had all these reasons for why he did what he did to Megan Gantz. So that's Dan Harmon. Ezra Miller, I've seen him punch someone on video, right? So there's a difference between what I think someone did or what they've been charged with and what I saw them do with my own eyes.
I've also seen Justin Will Smith slap someone on video.
Sure, but we're talking about what a company chooses to do and who they associate somebody with and whether or not it is the right or wrong decision to make, right? Okay. And so with Justin Roiland, this is someone who has maintained their innocence. The company didn't do an investigation into it because it's a criminal matter. So that makes sense. And so I find myself conflicted from that perspective. So that makes it a little hard as someone who enjoys the show. There are lots of people online who are saying like, oh, this is terrible. There's going to be a delay. And I'm not quite there yet, but I do feel a difference when someone has been charged with something and not necessarily convicted versus either seeing it myself or they've been investigated and the investigation says, yeah, they committed this act. Does that make sense?
Right.
Makes sense to me. I actually got a question for you that on that one, Jonesy. Because it sounds like you've got a strong conviction for innocent until proven guilty. There's your whole background in the law thing that, you know, how much did that play on in your life before law school? Did it change with law school? Did it become more of a thing? Because again, on like there's a difference between the legal sense and of innocent until proven guilty, but the social and business sense is different. But it sounds like you're similar to me to where it's like, because this is a moneymaker, and if you're in a business, you're in a business to make money, and you don't. We've seen it's rare, but it does happen. We've seen cases of embellishment or things being dropped, people being found innocent. There's this whole thing that can come out to where it's basically maybe they did, maybe they didn't, or outright they didn't, and you jump to this, you know, reaction. How does that play on you, man?
So before I, this is going to sound sad. I have no memory before law school, what I thought about any of this stuff. I started law school in 2006, so I don't recall how I thought about things. Since joining the military and seeing both criminal and in administrative investigations, it feels very right to me to at least do an administrative investigation before you take some sort of negative action against somebody. So in the military, you know this, we've got the 15-6 investigation, which is our administrative, or if it's a criminal matter, it either gets invested by the military police or CID. And so I tend not to want to see action taken until one of those things happens. Now, again, this is different because in this realm, it's possible that we could have seen the thing happen. So Jammer brought up Will Smith, or we saw Ezra Miller do the thing. Like, I'm okay being done with that individual at that point. So that's kind of how I see it.
Cool. Thanks.
Any last thoughts about this situation?
That's not a defense of Justin Roiland. That is an explanation of why I feel conflicted about how they went about doing what they did. If they had come out and said, like, yeah, we independently investigated this and we came to our own conclusion and this is why we're doing what we're doing, I think I'd feel a little bit more okay with it. I'm not upset now, but I think we live in a world where that's hard, where someone can make an allegation, someone can be charged with something, and that's just it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. I believe trial stuff is happening later this year in April or so. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. And if there are any shifts, especially if he maintains his innocence there. Anyway, let's talk about lighter news. Oscar nominations came out this past week, and we got some stuff to review. So I'm just going to kind of just go down some of the bigger categories here. Let's go ahead and start with let's start with best supporting actress and kind of work our way through the supporting actors and leads and then directors and then best picture. And if we want to go on to any other specific categories, we'll do that. So start with best supporting actress. We had Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau for The Whale, Kerry Condon for Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Stephanie Hsu from Everything Everywhere All at Once. For Best Supporting Actor, we had Brendan Gleeson, The Banshees of Inisherin. We had Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway, Judd Hirsch, The Fabelmans, Barry Keoghan, The Banshees of Inisherin, Kaiwi Kwan, I think that's how you pronounce it, apologies if I'm wrong, for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Lead actress, we have Kate Blanchett for Tar, Ana de Armas for Blonde, Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie, Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans, Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Best Lead Actor, we have Austin Butler for Elvis, Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin, Brendan Fraser, The Whale, Paul Mescal, After Sun, Bill Nighy, Living. Best Directors, Martin McDonagh, I need to work on that. Martin McDonagh, The Banshees of Inisherin, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert and Everything Everywhere All at Once, Steven Spielberg, The Fabelmans, Todd Field, Tar, Ruben Östlund, Triangle of Sadness. And now, Best Picture. There's 10, so here we go. We're going to make our way down this list. I'm just going to say the titles. All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, Women Talking. By the way, I love Nick, his like predictable responses. Avatar, Top Gun.
Hey, like, I've seen Avatar now, and it's definitely not a Best Picture now.
I mean, I would say the same thing about Top Gun Maverick, but I think that's
Top Gun Maverick's not going to win. It's just there.
Yeah, but it's also not even a North South.
It's not. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying, oh, thank God that they're honoring Top Gun. Granted, it's a fun movie, but like, it's not Best Picture material, at least in my mind. But I guess that just depends on what your criteria is for Best Picture.
Would you have a beer with it? That's the criteria.
I would have a beer with it. I would have a beer with Top Gun. I like that criteria. You know what? You're right. What would I have a beer with? So, one thing I think is interesting is this comes. I could drink with Top Gun. I could do it.
No, Top Gun has to fly. FAA rules.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So the one thing I think is also interesting is something I didn't mention, and this is weird. I'm sure that there's a sequel situation here, but for best adapted screenplay, Glass Onion is on there.
So and is I'm Top like, Gun.
Adapted.
I wonder if it was because
they're from pre-existing properties or sequels.
That's I guess weird. I've never seen that before, that to my memory, but it must be because they're sequels. They count as adapted.
They count as adapted. Yeah, I guess it's really weird.
I thought it was weird. Yeah,
I don't like that. But so first things first, Jonesy. No, actually, let's start with Danny because I haven't used Danny first. I'm using you first today. When you saw those or heard those, what stuck out to you?
Honestly, what stuck out to me is that I was still pissed off. I haven't seen everything everywhere, everywhere at once. It's really frustrating because I've heard nothing but good things about it since it came out. Everyone says how great it was and how great the lead and supporting actresses were. And they're there being nominated. It's up for 10 total awards, I think. I think it was double figures.
I think
figures
it might be 11,
total.
Actually.
I think it's 11.
Really? Yeah. Wow. And I've still not seen it. Very, very, very frustrating. I will say this. Thanks for obviously reading out that list there, Gemma. I didn't realize that the lead actor in Elvis, I forget his name, apologies.
Austin
because
Butler.
Although the movie's not great, I wasn't impressed with the movie overall. I'll be disappointed if that did win. But he was, I felt, in that role, immense. And so I'm pleased he was nominated at least. I have no idea what happened with the Golden Globes as far as Best Actor. But I was pleased to see that that actor from Elvis was nominated.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So, yeah, overall disappointment is that I still haven't seen that bloody film. Come on.
Austin Butler has come a long way. I remember he was in the Shannara Chronicles, which I wanted to love.
No. Because,
yeah, he was the lead in the Shannara Chronicles. I wanted to love it because I remember I read those books like when I was in middle school, and I was just like, this will be fun. Show was awful. It was terrible. Yep. It was really bad. I liked the scenery. It was beautiful. But apart from that, it was just terrible. So he was leading that. He was also in Yoga Hosers from Kevin Smith. Was a character in that. I think the worst part about that is that I've watched Yoga Hosers. I actually don't think I finished it, to be honest. But I started watching it, and it was terrible. And he's in that. And then he appeared in like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I was like, okay, that's a definite step up. Good for you. Good for you. And then of course Elvis. So he's been clawing his way from the bottom of, you know, the worst kind of TV all the way up to, you know, he's now an Oscar nominated actor playing one of the most iconic entertainment figures in the history of entertainment. So that's worth something, I guess. Good for him.
Sure.
Nick, what has struck you about this Oscars?
Well, you know what I say about the award shows. I've said it plenty of times before that they aren't worth a bucket of warm spit, and it's a popularity contest, blah, blah, blah. But
you're right. And I like, don't
but
like
that being said,
spit.
Well, I don't know. That's a quote that Dick Cheney said to my dad in an interview back like 10 what? Years before. My dad interviewed him when he was a reporter in Wyoming, and he asked Dick Cheney about the vice presidency back then. It wasn't Bush. And he was like, vice presidency isn't worth a bucket of warm spit. But that's just a funny answer that my dad tells. That's why I use that phrase. But, you know,
I'm sorry to do this, Nick. It's not an antidote. It's an anecdote. But continue.
You know me. I'm just Miles. What I can't remember his last name. Milesing from Glass Onion. Just
Glass
saying
Onion.
Words
Miles
wrong.
Braun.
And yeah, Miles Braun.
Yeah.
But here's what I said to I think it was to Manny. Which just on Twitter. No, it was Anthony, where I'm like, yeah, it's cool that these people won the Golden Globes, but if, for me, the Oscars and the Golden Globes, like I'm kind of a hypocrite because I'm like, I don't care. But then when someone I do like gets nominated, I'm like, good for them, or like a movie or something. And I really hate when people are like, this person was snubbed, because I'm like, well, that's your opinion. Like, there's lots. It's hard. It is hard to pick like five actors out of a year worth of movies. It's really, for me as a fan of these things, it's exciting to see Angela Bassett get nominated and screenplays for Top Gun and Glass Onion. But yeah, I don't really have much of an opinion past that, because I don't try not to be a hypocrite these days and be like, now I care because someone's
in there.
Say
things about them.
Yeah, but
you're
like,
allowed to say good for you to someone. Just because the award doesn't mean anything to you doesn't mean that you're gonna be like, oh, fuck you, you won an award I don't care about. Like, you could still
say fuck you to that person.
You sell out, you poser. I would never say that
about these people either. But I do think, really good for you, Angela Bassett. And
that sounds condescending.
The guy who played, I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
Everything I say sounds sarcastic. I tried to Miles Braun it again, but and good for you, Top Gun. Like, just like, it's not going to win, but with a field of 10 movies. I also like that someone pointed out this is one of the Academy Awards that has the most, like, more than any of the year that actually has a lot of high grossing fan loving movies, more than just like little movies that no one saw.
Sure. I had noticed that as well. It does seem like that there's more, I guess, audience pleasing movies,
but then,
I
haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once yet, even though I have it on Vudu. I will get to that now. I was already going to get to it. And then, good for you, the guy's name I can't pronounce, Short Round, is his most famous role, that he basically wasn't acting at all, and he got an award. Same with Brendan Fraser. I haven't seen The Whale, but it's like, yeah, that guy is like, good for, like, super good for him. He's been out.
With Kaylee Kwan, he basically was brought back in when he saw Crazy Rich Asians and saw, like, oh, there are roles for me outside of stereotypes now. Maybe I should give it a shot again. And then eventually led to this.
And then, of course, Brendan Fraser had his comeback after kind of self-exiling himself due to terrible things that happened to him in the industry. And it's great to see that comeback story. This is probably the most exciting part for those two. So that's my piece.
Jonesy.
Wait. One last thing. The movie I want to have a drink with, even though I haven't seen it, is the Banshees movie, because it's full of a bunch of Irishmen. And that's actually, like, I think that someone did the math, and 25% of the nominees this year are from Ireland.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah.
So Martin McDonagh, I love him. He's
So
everyone gives me shit about my stance on IMAX screening, and that is just sit closer to the screen in a theater and you're getting the IMAX experience. So along
Kyle
those same
and I
lines,
are like, ugh.
I know, one of my best experiences in watching a movie was with my headphones on my iPhone watching In Bruges, which is an amazing
Martin McDonagh
movie. Yeah.
Okay, because we watched In Bruges this week, me and my roommate, because of that nomination.
Then why did you ask?
Well, I was making sure. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't remember the director's name watching it. We were just like, I was like, do you want to see a Brendan Gleeson, Colin Farrell movie? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, cool.
Same director.
Funny.
And it was a great experience. Like, it was just nice, quiet, and intimate, just watching it on my phone. And I was at that point, I realized, if I'm just immersed in my own way through the story, I don't need a big ass screen. It's fine. I don't need a big ass screen. But anyways, Jonesy, what are your thoughts on the on the nominations?
I need a big ass screen. Those are my thoughts.
I mean, I won't say no to a big ass screen, but I don't feel compelled to be like, oh, I have to watch it on the biggest screen.
I like big ass screens, and I will not lie. You other brothers like Jammer, you can deny. So I think I tend to feel like Nick. I don't really give a shit about award shows, but I am happy when the people that I like get nominated. I would like to see Banshees. But I'm really happy for Everything Everywhere All at Once. That was a film that when I saw it, I was pissed off even more at Doctor Strange, because I was like, this is the multiverse of madness, right? Like, if you're going to make a movie called The Multiverse of Madness, it should be this fucking mad. And that film was. Not only that, it was incredibly good. The action was good. The acting was great. And so to have a film that I saw and felt that strongly about walking out, getting recognized that much, that makes me very happy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how I feel about that. And I would like to see, because I did like In Bruges, and I haven't seen Banshees, I would like to see that. And it's weird. It's only been within the last month that that movie has even popped up on my radar, which is abnormal.
Banshees?
Usually it is a, yeah.
I think it came out last. Oh, you mean because it's because Oscars, you know, they like basically hold them close to the chest until like November. Then they're like, oh, by the way, this is coming out.
Okay. So when did it come? Did it come out within the last month?
Let me see. Keep talking.
It had to be 20. I had to have at least a small release in 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
22. Otherwise it wouldn't qualify. But
yeah. So yeah, I would like to see that film because I like those actors and I like what the director did and then Brood.
October of 2022. Yeah.
October.
Okay, so that's, you know what, that's not too bad. No, I don't feel as bad. But Everything, Everyone, Everywhere, All at Once, I hope it gets everything that it deserves. It's a fantastic film. So
yeah, I respect Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, but man, I remember I was watching it and I paused it and I was like, oh my god, we're like only halfway through this movie and so much has happened. I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, and I don't know if I could take this overstimulation any longer. So, like, I was just exhausted by the end of it, and I was just like, I don't know if I want to watch that again. But it was really good, and it wasn't just crazy and weird, which it was, but it felt like it had a lot to say. And I think that's always a good thing to get in a movie that's not just entertaining and off the wall and just cool, but just it really has, like, something to say about being a person or being a human or relationships, and that's just, it did that very well. And now that I talk about it, I really kind of want to see it again because I think I could probably lean harder in my mind into the emotions, probably force some tears from my eyes along the way. I don't think I cried when I saw it last time. I think I can make it happen the next time.
Here's a quick question before you move on.
Yeah.
Someone posed this on Twitter and I don't know if it's true that they said, do you really think Everything Everywhere All at Once would be nominated if it was from a big studio, or does A24 releasing it have something to do with actually even being considered?
No.
Okay.
It does not. Because look at what
Yeah.
No. There are lots of A24 movies that aren't nominated. That's,
I know, but it adds
thought.
Prestige to what could normally be just an overlooked like blockbuster or something.
I mean maybe
they have an in because they're well connected and they can get nominated versus like a really really like indie movie wouldn't even stand a chance because they couldn't make the theaters in that sense. Yes. Okay. But no,
let's see. Wait, you know what I want to know now that you've asked that stupid question? I want to know, did Midsommar get nominated for anything?
Who did that? Who said that?
I don't
let
know.
Me add him.
Someone on the Twitter.
It's weird that they singled out Everything Everywhere All at Once.
No, it wasn't even someone complaining about it. They were just like, do you think, yeah, they said what I said. It's like, do you think it was A24? They didn't say it was bad. They're like, do you think A24 had something to do with it rather than if it was a big, I know it wasn't expensive big blockbuster, but a big blockbuster by like Sony or something, would it still have gotten the same recognition? But yeah, just asking you guys, I don't think so either. But
I mean, that seems like a very thinly veiled, what's the word I'm looking for? Of them, yeah,
well, not criticism,
racism,
hatred.
People
you
complaining
said they did
about
racism.
Thinly veiled people complaining about woke culture. It seems like a thinly veiled thing for that. Personally, obviously, I don't know who this person is, but this sounds like it. Like
it's not
would
me.
This have been
that's
nominated if it wasn't for A24?
A24 didn't get any big award nominations. It got stuff from Hollywood Critics Association, Saturn Awards is like the biggest thing on there. And it only won two things, a score award and a virtuoso award from Santa Barbara International and Ivor Novello Awards.
Hmm. Anyway, so yeah, that is the Oscars. Any last thoughts about the Oscars before we move on? All right, let's talk about things that we've been watching and who watches The Watchers, which is, we used to do this more frequently, not so much since we've been having shorter episodes, but you know, we all watch different things throughout the weeks. Yes, what's up?
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Here.
The Whale. Wasn't that an A24 movie?
Whale. I have no idea. Let's see.
I don't know. I was just asking. I thought it was. No,
that's a good question. Yes. Yes, it is. So here's the question. So, would The Whale have been nominated if it wasn't for A24?
That seems like
I find that to be interesting.
I mean, that just seems like a different case because that one has awards written all over it from the moment they make it. Like, that's almost one of those movies you make to win awards.
Why? I know nothing about it. Tell me why.
I don't know. Just the sub. I don't even know much about it either. It just that just feels like
an award. What the fuck are you talking about?
Nothing.
Moving on.
So I know what
did
he
you
means.
Miss him, Nick?
I know what Nick means. So literally, you have an actor. Hold on. You have an actor who has been having a comeback in the mainstream consciousness, putting on a fat suit, really putting on a tour de force performance.
And putting it really on a fat seems suit like is it's actually a vehicle, a negative, though.
No, but it's like one of those things where it's just like he's transforming to bring a character to life, like not in Eddie Murphy
saying,
way,
I'm saying
or in the Mike Myers way.
Suit thing, we're actually upset.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure. My point is that it's about transforming for the role in a way that is like that brings it grounded. I'm not defending it.
Michelle Yeoh literally played like 15 different versions of herself.
Good for her, also, by the way. She's who I forgot.
She's great.
Say.
She's great in that movie. Everyone's great in that movie. That's not the point. My point is that it seems. I see your point. It's one of those also very understated and smaller movies, whereas Everywhere All at Once is very genre and wacky. I get your point, Nick. I agree with you. But also, I think that person was probably making an anti-woke comment, and they should be criticized for it.
Maybe, but again, I'm not the one who wrote it. I'm not reading my own tweet.
I know it's not your own tweet. You've made that perfectly clear, Nick. We're not accusing you. We're talking about whoever wrote that.
I'm accusing him.
Also, what the fuck are you talking about, Nick?
Nothing.
Sorry. See what you bring up the worst in us, Jonesy. So let's talk about who watches The Watchers, where we talk about things that we've been watching this past week, or in this case, this past couple of months. Nick, I'm really excited for your stuff, specifically because the other day, or a couple weeks back, you said you're never going to watch Avatar: The Way of Water. And since then, you've watched Avatar: The Way of Water. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about Avatar: The Way of Water. So tell us about Avatar: The Way of Water.
Well, I went with my boss and one other person who works in my building. So everyone but one employee from the building went. And it's only because he saw it 1.5 times because the projector broke down the first time he saw it.
Okay. Well, I don't need this backstory, Nick. Well,
that's
just
the only
reason
I'm saying. That's the reason I ended up going. I don't care. Team building. I've discovered why I don't like them that much. I really don't like the nature and the culture stuff very much in those movies. I like what James Cameron does with the human tech and like the submarines with claws, or like the new version of the big suits where you even when Eddie Falco, is that her name? Is that her first name? Where she's like the scene where she's drinking and the suit's doing the coffee drinking for her, even though she's making the hand movement. Like, I really like the way or the whaling ships and all that. I really like how he does that kind of stuff. The rest of it, it just doesn't strike me the same way.
You heard it here first. Nick Dahl is in support of the whaling scenes in Avatar: The Way of Water. I have a Japanese documentary for you to watch that you'll just enjoy.
I'm not in favor of killing space whales, and it's the most important whales have been in science fiction since Star Trek 3. But, yeah, I don't know. It was fine. It was about what I expected. I gave it two stars on Letterboxd.
What don't you like about the culture stuff? Because you say you don't like the culture.
Star Trek 4.
Star Trek 4, you're right. That's the one with the whales. The Voyage Home. My bad, right. Trek fans. But I don't know. I'm not into all the, look at the CGI environment. Like, look at all these CGI characters. I like it best when humans are on screen. Just because I think
why is that
the way he shoots it? I think that
so you don't like animation at all.
No, it's not true at all.
Well, I'm trying
to animated films.
So here's the thing, Nick. I'm trying to just get you to say more than I don't know because I'm really curious as to what makes you tick.
I'm specious.
So why don't you like the CG stuff?
No, it's not even the CG stuff I don't like. It's just like I'm not as into exploring the culture of the Na'vi and like seeing all these like crazy animals and locations and stuff as I am to seeing the more sci-fi elements, so to say, of like what how human, like even the little droids that like build buildings and stuff. Like I like the world.
How many
building.
Times did you see Battle Angel Alita?
Zero.
Yeah, you don't like it that much.
No. God damn it. That's such a weird argument.
But yeah, I don't know. I really liked those parts of it, and I was definitely like you guys were talking about Jermaine Clement. He was a great character, and that arm scene, woof.
Oh, the arm getting cut off.
Yeah, and there were obviously, and I did enjoy. There were lots of homages to like Jaws, and obviously Titanic. Half
so
the film
last
felt like
time,
Titanic. But
last time we spoke, you said, "I hate the Avatar franchise." Do you hate the Avatar franchise?
Yes.
Why?
It's not for me. Like. I don't know. Like here, everyone talks about how great
the
visual effects are.
The
visual effects are
you?
Fantastic, but I've never been one to see a movie. And of course, most movies I see are full of visual effects, but I've never been one to watch a movie just because it looks good. Kind of the exception being I enjoy them a lot, but I do seek out Tom Cruise movies also because of the lack of there's obviously VFX in every movie in a computer, but the way that I respect movies more that try to do everything as much, not everything, you can never do everything, but do a lot of stuff practically. So
some
the story is
all at once.
So what?
No,
why haven't seen hate is a very strong word.
I don't think did I even I really
think,
say
so I get
hate?
Jammer's point.
Last time I agreed and I said hate this time. Did I really say hate the Avatar franchise last time?
I'm pretty
time?
Sure you did say hate last time.
It's just
yeah, you did.
It's just not for me. I don't know. It's just the stories don't hit me that hard.
But I mean there's a difference between not for you versus hate.
Well, it's so much not for me that if I hadn't gone in the circumstances I did, it's not even a movie I would have ever watched on Disney Plus because I just don't care. That's a better thing than hate. Is I saw the first movie.
Hate. Like I hate Venom. I hate Venom and I hate the Venom fan class. I hate it because people love it so much and it's complete
Amen.
Dog shit.
Amen.
That's kind of how I feel about Avatar.
Venom is harmless. Right, Kyle? Venom is harmless.
God dang it. I told you it wasn't harmless.
No, I've already admitted. You're right. You're right, Kyle. You're right. Hashtag you were right.
And just so I don't have to go into more detail of explaining my thoughts rather than just I feel this way. I do it to pop off and go to work.
You're on a show to talk about that, though.
I know. I did.
This is the show. This is literally the show. You can't say, like, I don't want to explain it. Like, this is
I did explain it more than I explained.
This is why we're here.
Jammer pushed me into explaining it more.
I know, but I want to push you more in the future. We'll talk about this. We'll save this for next week, but I want you to write an essay. It's going to be 5 pages, double spaced. And
I'm
going to
make all the periods bigger so that used to be a big old trick.
Periods bigger.
Make the what? Periods bigger, you increase the page count slightly.
What do you mean the periods bigger? Who does
highlight
that?
Highlight all the periods. I used to do that sometimes in college. If I was just short, I'd be like, if you enlarge every period, the professor doesn't notice that, but it does add a little bit of
what the fuck?
Page count, especially if it's a very long paper. But yeah, I got to go to work. It was good to see you, Jonesy. I don't see you very often. Hey, and thank you for every... thank you, audience. Thank you, Kyle. Thanks, everybody. I'll be back next week.
Okay, bye.
Adios.
Kyle, what Kyle just closed his camera.
No, I'm all right. Just relax. It's so I can mess with something in OBS. Carry on.
Scared me. Okay. So I've also been watching some stuff. I've been watching a couple of things, mostly on HBO Max. Apparently I'm on a Mindy Kaling kick because I started with The Sex Lives of College Girls, which is really fun. I highly recommend it if you're into just comedy. I'm always in search of a 30-minute comedy. We'll get to that in a second.
God damn it.
So anyways, if you're into 30-minute comedies and you want something that has like a little bit more, I don't want to say mature because sex jokes aren't mature, but if you just want something that's fun, I highly recommend it. I like all the characters in it. I think they're great.
It's mature content, but it's lowbrow.
Lowbrow mature content. There you go. Have you seen it?
No. I don't like Mindy Kaling.
Oh, you don't? I like her stuff. Her stuff is usually funny, which is why Velma was especially sad for me. It's not, I think it's getting too much hate personally. So Velma is the mature Scooby-Doo cartoon reimagining where you have Mindy Kaling playing Velma. You have Sam Richardson playing quote-unquote Shaggy, who's Norville. And you have, what's her name, from Fresh Off the Boat in Crazy Rich Asians. I forget her name, but the actress from that one. She is Daphne. And then you have Freddy. So basically they're completely reimagined, and it's more mature. Lots of swearing and gore and some nudity and stuff. I think it's getting too much hate, but it's not great. I'll keep watching it and see if it gets better. I think it's a show that maybe could lean into it. To me, the biggest problem is it feels like it's almost going for a Harley Quinn tone, and it's not nearly as well written as Harley Quinn.
How much did you watch?
I've watched 2 or 3 episodes so far.
Many said the exact
same. Bumping up against that anime rule.
2 episodes.
Okay, so, the third one, that's going to change your mind.
Probably not, but you never know. I'm actually open to it changing because it's, for me, it's at least entertaining enough to keep me going, and it's short enough to where it's not a huge deal, but it's not great. It sounds like it seems like it's trying to be Harley Quinn, and it's not as good as Harley Quinn.
That's exactly what Manny had said on the Daily
Call. Oh, really?
Talking about it, that it was trying so hard to be something, and it came nowhere near that, and
I think it gets too much hate. Like, everyone is like hating on it as the worst thing ever. It's not that bad. It's just not great. And I think people are strangely and awkwardly attached to Scooby-Doo as a franchise, as if they've been watching it for like consistently for like, no, you haven't. It's like, oh, I grew up with Scooby-Doo. Fuck, get the fuck out of here. There's been a billion Scooby-Doos. Why does this one bother you? Get over it. But it's not great. I wanted to like it. I wanted to love it. And I don't. So that's what I'll say about that. Has anyone else seen it other than me?
I thought about watching it, and I couldn't think why I had the thought.
It tries to. There's a very try hard meta thing to it that I don't like. Where, you know, she says, "Oh, this is the part where I do this in the story," and da da da. I'm like, it's been done better, and I can't put my finger on why it didn't.
Yeah,
work
by She-Hulk.
It was done better by She-Hulk. I will say that it was done better by She-Hulk. Yes, it was.
I have no basis for comparison.
But yeah, so Velma, I'll keep watching it. It's not great, but it doesn't deserve the hate that it's been getting. All right, so that's what I've been watching. Oh, also, I said this before. Matilda the Musical is awesome. You should watch Matilda the Musical. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
I saw the end. I really liked the ending.
Yeah. You should watch the rest of the movie. The rest of the movie is really good.
I'm good. No, I like musicals. I'm good.
I mean, if you don't like musicals, then there's no point. So if you like musicals, then yes. If you don't like musicals, you shouldn't watch it.
It's got to be like some Hugh Jackman level shit, and this wasn't.
How dare you? Did you just... Okay.
What?
It's just weird that you say it's some Hugh Jackman level shit, like The Greatest Showman.
No.
It's The Greatest Showman or nothing.
I feel like that's a perfectly reasonable bar to
set. Actually, you cut out, so I didn't hear what you said. Say that again.
I feel like that's a perfectly reasonable bar to set. Either it is this good, or nothing.
I think it's better than any musical that I've seen with Hugh Jackman in it, personally.
Mm. Okay.
I think it's... What other musicals are there from Hugh Jackman? With Hugh Jackman?
Yeah. The Oscars. You also
Danny,
the Oscars.
And he's only done one.
Danny and Jonesy, what have you been watching lately? I know you have a certain aeroplane-based film that you've watched.
You should do Last of Us first, because you've been watching that now.
Yeah, well, I've managed to find a way to be able to watch The Last of Us legally, and I'm very impressed. I must say, as you guys were saying last week, it seems like none of us have actually played the game. And that to me has been a big bonus for me personally watching it, because I have no idea what to expect from a storyline point of view or from what happens to characters. So everything is a shock, stroke, surprise. I'm loving it. I think it's a great show. So I'm super stoked about that. And it's been a Disney Plus week for me. It's
before
been
that,
catching
before
up
that,
with Bad Batch
that.
And National Treasure.
but we'll get back to, oh, I've been watching that too. But really quick, I just want to say there was a scene in The Last of Us episode one where I just imagined playing it as a video game. And when he was carrying his daughter as the things were caving in around him. And I just imagined pressing forward and limping through, and then something happening, having to press like an action time event in order for him to dodge it. I just imagined it as that. I probably isn't, but to me that felt very video game. I don't know if that was intentional or if it's just the fact that it's based on a video game colored my perspective.
From everything I've been hearing and reading, I'd say it probably was very much intentional. Obviously someone has played the games out there, a dear listener or a dear viewer, tell us if we're right or wrong, but it does seem to me like something that was in the game, because they've been paying a lot of close attention to some game nods and winks. So that's it. The hit and miss show, which is literally hit and miss for me right now, is Bad Batch. You get one good episode, which has been ultimately the moment, the Crosshairs episode. And then immediately following that, there's been a complete, that was a waste. That was boring shit. And then next time it'd be a hit again. It's a strange show. Disappointingly a strange show, I must say, because I did enjoy season one of Bad Batch. Like I said, Gemma, I've been catching up with National Treasure on Disney Plus too, the TV series National Treasure. I'm persevering with it. It's got some good points and it's got some down points, but it's better than Willow, and I'm glad I'm persevering with this one.
I'm also watching National Treasure. I'm like five episodes in, and I'm with you. There's lots of it's not great. I'm not even sure if it's good, but it's hitting some of the right points for me. I love them using Riley in it from the movies. Yeah. I thought he was great. Yeah. I thought his personality it was consistent, where he's kind of like still kind of trying to prove that he matters in a way.
Yeah.
And isn't quite there. And that moment where he literally channels Nicolas Cage's energy from the movies with how he thinks through puzzles is really funny. I thought that was great. And also I love the fact that, and I went back to the first movie after this, they brought back that random FBI agent who discarded that Declaration of Independence threat. That's the actual same actor.
Oh, was he in that? Was that him?
He was in the first movie. That was him. I didn't recognize it either. And I was like, is he in the first one? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's legitimately him. He is the same exact guy from the first one. So
I was demoted.
That to me, it's literally just the fan service. It's not good, but it's hitting all the right notes for me as someone who loves those movies. So
yeah,
it's fine. Like, I'll keep watching it. I'll probably finish it. I don't know if I'll recommend it to anyone outside of, you know, National Treasure fans, but it's a good time.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yep, for sure.
Jonesy.
It's funny. I think Danny and I have been watching literally the exact same stuff, with the exception of I have fallen asleep or passed on. So like Bad Batch, I saw the first episode, fell asleep on the second episode. I watched the first episode of National Treasure and went, it's fine. And I felt no need or desire to go back and watch it. And what else? Last of Us has been great. It actually made me want to go back and play the game, like try to play the game again, because I think, like Jammer, you said you only played a few minutes of it. That was me as well. And so I think I'll go back now and do that. But I'm having this problem with television where, unless it's just like hitting, I have other things I either have to do or would rather do. And exactly. So it needs, like, it cannot just be like National Treasure. Like, you guys are persevering. Like, I don't have time for that.
Well, it's it hits more with me because I'm such a fucking whore for the first and second movies.
Yeah. I mean, and I really enjoyed them as well, but this is not that. Like, to put it another way, I would say that I'm a whore for Willow. And the first two episodes of that, and I'm like, I'm good. I have no desire to go back. There are other things I'd rather be doing than
I think I saw National Treasure 2 four times in theaters.
Jesus Christ.
So like they strike with me on a weird level, those movies.
That's weird.
I'm not going to defend it, but I'm just saying that's what it is.
Yeah, no. So yeah, I need things to hit or get out of the way. So Last of Us is a hit. I'm going to keep watching that and everything else. I'll get there. Yeah, and then Dan and I yesterday we saw Plane.
How was it?
That was the last movie I watched. It is a fun B movie. There's a part of me that was like, does this need to be a theater movie? Is there anything about the scale of this film that needs to be in the theater? I came to the conclusion, no. But I enjoyed what I saw. Like, if this had been this feels like it could have been a Netflix movie, and you would not have felt like you missed anything by not having seen it in the theater. I enjoyed the relationship between Mike Coulter and Gerard Butler. And it was fun from the perspective of, it felt like the movie was setting up for one thing with stereotypes and people that you saw. And then it just didn't do anything with that at all. And so that was a nice and fun surprise. The fight scenes were interestingly shot. It felt like you were watching people that didn't know how to fight, but they were still shot well enough to keep them interesting, if that makes sense.
Was it intentionally shot? Like,
yes.
Was it intentional that they didn't know how to fight?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Like, you're watching people that don't know how to fight, but it's shot well, so you're still into what you're seeing and you care about these characters and you don't want them to die. And they were just very consistent with certain things, like Gerard Butler in this movie is not a killer. So like, when something happens like that, like he looks appropriately aggrieved. It's almost like
Tomb Raider.
Opposite of,
oh dang it.
Well, I was going to say the opposite. It's funny you said Tomb Raider, because I was going to say the opposite of Uncharted, where in Uncharted, he's like this happy-go-lucky guy, but like as you play the game, he's like a killer. He's killing a whole bunch of people. And so Gerard Butler in this, like, people have to die, but every time it happens, like you see it. Or when he gets hurt, like you see that. And so I appreciated that. I think people should watch it. Like, for me, it was a solid B film. I'd definitely watch it again if it comes on TV.
It's funny. I remember when the trailer came out for that, Kirsten and I were super excited for the first half of the trailer, because it looked like it was capturing that Con Air vibe, and then the plane crashed, and then I was like, oh, there's more movie. Oh, there's a lot. Oh, I don't know if I want this movie. And I wasn't quite sure. So as someone who wanted that, how does the movie deliver?
It is not Con Air. It's nothing like Con Air. The bad guys are cookie cutter and generic. Like, because as I think about Con Air, like, they had such a rich tapestry of just like the most fucking disgusting scummy guys.
Personalities. Yes.
You had Ving Rhames, you had John Malkovich, you had Steve Buscemi, you had Dave fucking Chappelle, right? Like, so like, as you think about Con Air, if that's your bar, no. No.
Sigh. That's a bummer.
You got Colm Meaney, right? You got Chief O'Brien, right? How do you top Chief O'Brien? Like, just no. No. But it's still good. It's just not Con Air good.
Danny, what are your thoughts? You have anything to add?
No, only that while I was, as well as Jonesy, I enjoyed the fight scenes. It was a pleasant surprise to see, because obviously, as you see from the trailer, Gerard Butler is just a captain. He's just a pilot. He's not, you don't find out he's some ex-Secret Service SAS warrior or anything. He remains that way. So when situations arise where a normal human being has to do certain things, it adequately shows his revulsion, his sickness, his guilt, you know, all comes through. So that was quite pleasant, from that perspective. The action stuff was really good. I will say this, though, Jammer, and to Mrs. Jammer, if you're listening, the film in the trailer gives the impression of a certain film. And it does, like Jonesy said, there is a certain setup with some of the characters. You think, okay, you're bringing that on because they're going to be the first to die. You're bringing that on because he's going to be the one that causes this. And none of that happens. But also, the title of the film actually has more to do with the film than you'd think. It's actually, okay, it's not just a hostage film that has a plane crash at the beginning. And I'll leave it at that in case you don't want to be spoiled. So the title is actually more relevant than the trailer suggests. So you never know, Jammer. Maybe you and Mrs. Jammer will enjoy it when you see it on TV. On a small screen. On the smallest screen you can find.
The way cinema should be viewed.
And I'll add, I think I walked into this cold. I had never seen the trailer. I had only ever seen posters for it. And I think that helped, right? Because I had zero expectations for what this film was going to be. And so it was all just unfolding in front of my eyes as opposed to having seen bits and pieces of it in the trailer. And that was good.
All right. Well,
sorry, did we keep you awake? Did we bore you that much?
So bored. You guys are just really unengaging. So, I mean, on that note, we may as well just end the show here because
we don't want to talk about anything else.
So thank you so much for listening or watching, everybody, on the Genreverse Podcast Network. This isn't the only show you could be watching on this YouTube channel. We, of course, have Daily Cup of Genre. We have Genre Shots, AVR Squared, Animeversal Reviews, The Cantina. And, of course, we can't forget Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, which is the show that Nick constantly forgets the title of. And I remembered it, so I'm special. So we have all those shows in addition to other reactions from Kyle and Co. Thank you so much, Kyle, once again, for producing. And again, happy birthday, Kyle. Happy belated birthday.
Thanks,
I hope
guys.
It was a good one. And
I have a hemorrhoid. Of course it wasn't.
Well, I hope that I got nothing.
But that Kyle. Also makes it appropriate for getting older.
There you go. Indeed. Whew, yeah. Midlife crisis. I mean, I'm excited. Sports car, motorcycle, something. It's just gotta be red.
Definitely not a motorcycle.
No, definitely not a motorcycle right now.
For all hemorrhoidal updates.
Danny knows he has a motorcycle and maybe a hemorrhoid.
That's just the way I sit.
For all hemorrhoidal updates, be sure to follow at that Kyle Malone on Twitter.
Oh, God.
And yeah, it'll be a good time. So, Danny, where can people find you?
You can find me in Dubai showing Jonesy around.
I thought he was going to say showing him his hemorrhoid.
Jonesy, where can people find you?
Waiting for Kyle to lance his hemorrhoid on Twitch.
Dude, you should do another YouTubers. Subscriber, we'll do right a subscriber YouTube. Drive. You'd be like, there 5,000, I lance it.
God.
No anesthetic.
No anesthetic.
Shit.
I apologize. You're not going to be able to monetize this video, Kyle. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at AJ Cerna Writer. And what else can you do for me? Yeah, you can buy my books at, you know, just look up AJ Cerna on Amazon or Audible. Or you can also check out mahiabooks.com. I'm also looking for, reviews for my audiobook. If you're interested, get in touch with me on Twitter at AJ Cerna Writer. I can get you a copy of my audiobook. So.
When's the next book coming out? You got your little vision board behind you. You got Act 4 up there. What's going on?
That one is currently about 60,000 words into that one. The first one was 110,000 words. I anticipate this next one's going to be around 180,000 words, but we'll see. She's drafting through about 60,000 words. And I'm also writing another book, Spectral, as well. So, like, we got the train going here at Mahia Books headquarters. So, All right, that's it, Kyle. I'm done. Thank you so much.
Shit. Was I still on? Damn.
Don't get me on ya. Mission accomplished.
Hasta lasagna.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.